Jenny Scioto with Pursuing True North. Today, Catherine King and I get to interview Lisa Sanford, who is the founder of Restore Moms Retreat. Join with us today as she shares her heart and her testimony, her struggles postpartum, and how God led her to founding this Restore Moms Retreat. It is a sweet, sweet story, and her heart is just genuine. Enjoy.
Hey, Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
We are so excited to sit down and talk with you. You've got this amazing story and what, you know, everything that you're doing now and your move back to Tennessee, and just there's so much going on with you, but we are really excited to start out with your story about just who you are and growing up and where God kind of collided with you, and you know what you knew then and what you can look back and see now. Just whatever it is you feel like sharing with us, we'd love to know more about you.
Okay, great. I grew up in a Christian home. God was just always a part of our lives. There wasn't like a significant moment where I gave my life to him. It was just always a part of me, a part of our family, and it was just what we did. Grew up with my family in the church, and it was a Lutheran church.
Okay.
And it was probably in my mid-20s, we switched churches to a non-denominational church, a mega church. And it was there that I really learned to have a relationship with Jesus, that it wasn't just a Sunday morning and saying, you know, my prayer at dinner, but it was more of just a relationship. And I had never really known that before. And so starting that new church, it really opened my eyes and opened my faith walk.
So can you tell me a little bit about, like, so you grew up Lutheran?
Yes.
Are you a pastor's kid?
Or no.
Just
nope. Just something just we did every Sunday as a family, and we were expected to.
Much, yeah. Yes.
But I enjoyed it too.
Yeah. So as far as you got brothers, sisters.
I have three older sisters.
Okay.
And so
you have a big family.
We do have a big family. So
where'd you grow up?
In Arizona.
Okay.
So they're still there.
Okay.
Which they don't like.
That's kind of
hard. That I'm here. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Right. So when we moved churches, it was all, most of us, you know, all went together and changed churches together. So it was nice to experience that as a family and not just by myself.
And in your 20s, right?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Really close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I left the same church my parents were at, I think, when I was about 15. So.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
just,
very
it's
different.
Interesting to
right.
hear in the 20s. So
right.
Are all your sisters, how close in age are you guys?
I'm 4 years from the closest in age to me, and then they're all about 2 years apart.
Okay.
So there was a little of a gap there. But switching churches really had an impact on me, and I went on a mission trip to South Africa, and that just kind of took me to another level, too, of just opening my eyes to what God's doing, what God's heart is like. And I just kept having this prayer of, break my heart for what breaks your heart. And that was a dangerous prayer. It's praying for patience. He's going to show you. And so it just kind of kept developing through the years. Shortly after my mission trip, I started dating my now husband and moved away with him. And then we eventually came to Tennessee. And
did you guys go to church together? After you got married?
We did, yeah. So he was in California and I was in Arizona, and we started dating.
Okay.
And then when I moved to California to be with him, we were going to church together and joined a small group. And
oh, that's nice.
It was really good. He didn't grow up a believer, and that was one of my no-deal things.
Yeah.
And so I said, I can't even date you because you're not a believer. And
oh, so even when you met him,
right,
he wasn't a believer.
No. And so I said, I don't want to go down this road and fall in love with you and you're not a believer. And I prayed and prayed and prayed about it. And he said, I can't promise you I'm going to believe, but I'm going to try. But either way, I would raise my kids in the church because it's a good foundation, and I believe in that.
So he's trying to compromise.
He was really smooth.
I'm afraid, don't do this. Can we...
Right. So, through through lots of prayer, and he is now a believer, and he was baptized a couple years ago. And
how long were y'all married at that point?
What's that?
How long were you married at the point when you believed?
Probably 3 years. But him actively seeking the Lord and just and really diving into the Bible made me dive into it even deeper, because he had all these questions, and my answer was, well, that's just how it is. You know, I grew up just taking it for what it was and didn't really question things. So that really helped deepen my faith too, experience that with him.
And also, when God promised us, if you seek me, you'll find me.
Exactly. Exactly. And so with that, I'm like, if he's really seeking, he will find him.
Yeah.
And so, it really made it easier. Yeah. So, when we moved to Tennessee, we found, some churches, and we just dived right in right away. And, so yeah, it's been a beautiful journey with him. So, we moved to Tennessee, and we had two boys back to back, and we knew we wanted them close because we're a little bit older starting. But he was about to start his own business, and we had one baby, and we were going to start trying to have the second. And we said, well, let's hold off in case, you know, you're starting this new business. We knew he was going to be traveling a lot.
It's busy. You have a new kid. It's busy. It's a huge adjustment.
Right.
Anyway.
Let's just pause on the second baby talk. And literally about a week later, we were pregnant. So my one was 9 months old.
Oh, wow.
When we found out we were pregnant. And so he started traveling 2 months later. And he'd be gone for 10 days, home for four. And even when the before he was home, he was working, because that's what you do when you're a small business owner.
Your own job.
So exactly. it was kind of a nightmare, just to be real.
I mean, you had a brand new baby.
Right. I was a stay-at-home mom. I had no... I didn't really have much help. I didn't have breaks. My one break was church every Sunday, and I would show up as early as I could, checked my baby into care, and sat with a cup of coffee and just, you know, prayed and had a few quiet moments. And yeah, it was a hard season. And I kept telling myself, because right, like the longer it goes, it's not getting easier, it's getting harder, because you're more and more pregnant. And I just kept telling myself, I can't do this. And then I believed it, instead of the truth of I can do all things through him. I was believing the lies of I can't do this. And by the time my son was born, my mama came in from Arizona to help. She did that with the first two. And so that was really great. But within a couple of weeks, I just noticed myself spiraling downwards. And by my six-week checkup, postpartum checkup with my OB, she was just kind of baseline. She's like, you okay? And I was like, I'm not okay.
Well, that's brave of you.
Well, yeah. I made my husband go with me because I wasn't sure I would tell her. Okay. And I knew I wasn't okay. And thankfully he was in town a little bit, and he was trying to help me find a therapist and a psychiatrist to get medicine and just to get help. And it was impossible to find help. And I quickly became suicidal. And it wasn't me. And thankfully, I saw that it wasn't me. Sorry.
I'm so glad you recognize that. Yeah.
Because I think people go through that and they don't see it, or they don't have the people they can talk to. And I'm so grateful, because my husband was that very safe space where I could go and I could tell him these things and he wouldn't freak out or not believe me. It was just like the perfect neutral space where he said, okay, we're going to get you help. So we found a therapist and psychiatrist to get medicine and get going. And it just wasn't fast enough, right? Because that stuff takes time. Even the medicine, it takes time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, by this time I was seeing the therapist twice a week. My mom was still here helping. I wasn't allowed to drive anymore because I was so suicidal. So she had to take me to all my appointments with the babies in tow. And it was embarrassing. And it was so full of shame. And so I went to the therapist one day, and she would always do a baseline of, how are you doing? And I said, I have a plan. And she said, okay, that's the deal breaker. Okay. We have to do something now. So I went and checked myself into a facility for 5 days. And that was really, it was really hard. And it was so much shame around that because my son was 8 weeks old, you know, at a time that I should have been spending with him and bonding and really just enjoying this time and soaking it up. I had to get away from it all. So it was very long, 5 days. And my husband was out of town. My sister came to help my mom with the babies. And it was just an ugly time. And by the time I got out, I said, I'm never going back there ever again. I don't care what happens. I'm never going back there.
So your experience there was... Was it helpful at all? Or
it was not what I thought it was going to be. I mm-hmm. thought it was going to be like group therapy and really just a chance to take a break from everything. And it wasn't. They wanted to give me a ton of medicine. Mm. And, you know, and the group therapy was more like music therapy and let's sing about it. And it was like, it's not what I needed,
yeah.
You know, and it was what I needed in a sense of to take a break in a safe space,
yeah,
and to hopefully get my medication figured out. And so it did that, but it was awful at the same time, you know, and obviously, like, I don't regret it because it made me still be here and it's what I needed and what I needed to do for my family. But it took me a long time to realize that and to not have shame around it anymore. So I got out. My mom eventually went home. My husband was back on the road. And it was just us again.
Yeah, you're back into the reality.
Right, back into the reality. Back into believing, I can't do this. I can't do this.
And those lies will just sit there and circle in your head day absolutely. And night every single time absolutely. You wake up in
and it's like,
night.
And each time yeah. it's worse and worse and it's cuts you deeper and deeper and adds more lies to it. And within another 2 months, I was very suicidal again. And I would just daydream about, well, if I leave the front door unlocked, maybe someone would come check on me and find the kids and to be able to take care of the kids. Or what, you know, just of how can I get out of this, but my kids will be okay. Yeah. Which is crazy, you know.
But you know, so many people go through that.
Right.
I mean, I did too. I took medication, but I was too scared to tell anybody at all.
Right.
What I was going through to the level I was going through. And there are those thoughts and I was scared of garbage bags in my house. I was scared of when I would drive, it was the same thing, except I had kids in the car.
Right.
I had a kid in the car, and I'm like, I don't, you know, she'd probably be safe in the back seat, but she might not be.
Right.
Yeah, and when you realize you're thinking these things or seeing these things,
right.
you're thinking that's you.
Right.
And it sounds like you, you think it's you, you feel like you and you're doing the things you're doing all the things to get the help you're
right
taking
you're
medication
doing it all the right things you're supposed to be doing and right
yeah I get it.
So there was one night and I was putting my oldest down for bed and I was just sobbing over him knowing it was gonna be the last night I would ever hold him. I had a plan and I was just gonna just do it because it was gonna be so much easier than what I had been going through. So I put him down and I went to my room and I put on worship music as loud as I could without waking him up. And I took a Xanax and I thought, okay, I'm gonna just wash up for bed and hopefully that'll just give me enough time to take the edge off to where I won't do this. So by the time I got done washing up, I just fell face flat on my floor and just cried out to God to save me. Because this whole time, I didn't lose faith. I still believed in God. I was still at church every Sunday. But I didn't feel him. I didn't think he saw me. So I just laid there and cried and begged him. And by that time, I don't know if it was the spirit or the Xanax, but it was enough to where I just went to bed. But by the next morning, I was able to see a little bit clearer. I felt like he saw me, like I wasn't alone, that he was still fighting for me. And that was enough for me to keep fighting. Eventually, medicine started to work and settle out, and I was able to move forward. And eventually saw my therapist only once a week. But that was the difference, that I felt like he finally saw me and I knew he was still fighting for me. So that was a really big turning point for me. I reached out to a friend of mine from church and I said, I think I need someone like a spiritual mentor or someone just to sit and pray with me on a regular basis. And this was a really big move because I am an introvert of all introvertsness. Mm-hmm. Like I will try to fake it, but I really am. And to me, prayer is very vulnerable and personal. And so the idea of praying with someone terrified me.
And it takes a long time to get that to be something that's comfortable.
It is. Naturally, it does.
Hands yes. down, I have not heard a single person be like, yep, I like corporate prayer all the time. I yes. walked into it. It does take
I'm
a
much
lot
better
of
now, but yes, back it then, the it was, right.
Yeah.
It was very scary. And the friend I reached out to said, I don't have it in my bandwidth to do that with you right now, but I know someone that might be a really good fit. So I met with her, and it was just like we just had coffee, and it was easy and comfortable and non-judgmental, and she had her own story, and she could understand a little bit, and we just started meeting every week and walking and praying and talking, and she's a Bible teacher, so I could really just ask her anything, and it just turned into a friendship where we would just talk about God and the Bible, and you know, and I could have my boys in the double stroller and not really be dealing with them and to have a person to talk to. And it was, I think that was the biggest
exactly
thing that
needed.
Helped. Right, yeah. Exactly. And I thank God for that, because that was not me to say, hey, I need someone to be really vulnerable with. And like, that's not me.
Yeah.
That's not something I would normally ask for. So yeah, that was a giant turning point for me. So that went on for a couple of months, and our meetings had died down a little bit with her schedule and my schedule, and I was still having really bad anxiety. So the depression was under control, but then my anxiety was really bad, and I would basically do whatever I had to do to get through the day. And then by like 4 o'clock, I'd take like a half a Xanax because I knew my husband would be home soon. Just to like take the edge off. And then, you know, after I'd make dinner and start to get the boys in bed, I would take another Xanax to like get through the rest of the night. And I knew I could go to bed soon. And it was just that every day.
It's your cycle.
That was yeah. my cycle every day. And that's what I was doing, just to tread water to get through it. And my mentor had texted me and she says, how are you doing? You've really been on my heart. And I said, honestly, the anxiety's through the roof and I don't know what to do. And she said, okay, well, will you come somewhere with me? I've got a thing. Will you come with me? And I said, well, what? And she said, it's like a home-based church service, and just come with me. So I said, okay. And I was telling my husband, and he says, well, what is it? I said, I don't know. He said, where is I said, I don't know. He said, why are you going? I said, because I trust her and she invited me. Like, obviously she wants me there for a reason, and that's all I know. So she drove me, and I was really nervous because that meant I couldn't take my Xanax because it was on like a Friday night.
Okay.
So I told my husband, I said, well, be on standby in case I need you to get me like ASAP, which is a big deal with two kids that should be in bed.
Yeah.
To just, you know, get them in the car. And so he says, okay, well, I'm on standby. So we went, and all these women just took me in a room and started praying over me. And I was like, okay, that's nice. Thanks. And we got done and we went out into like the big living room, and it was just started with worship, and it was just a home-based church that started. But it started with some profound people who are really just after Jesus's heart and nothing more. And so we were doing worship, and the main woman came back to me, and I was like, why is she headed towards me? We already did our thing. Yeah, we already prayed. Like, yeah, why is she good. Coming back at me? Maybe she's going to someone next to me. And she just beelined for me and put her arms around me. And I was like, oh, okay, we're going to hug. I like hugs, sure. But she didn't let go. And she just started praying over me. And I collapsed. And I was baptized by the Holy Spirit. Mm. And I don't know how to explain it, if it's never happened to you, but it was the most peaceful thing in a crowded, loud room that you can ever imagine. Just complete peace and relaxation, and like I've never experienced before. And all these women were just praying over me, and it was a very holy, beautiful moment. And I got home that night, and my husband, who's a believer, but still a little skeptical. He's a logical believer.
And he hadn't had a lot of experience. That's one of the things, is experience.
Right.
Like,
right.
New experience.
Exactly. And God, frankly, if I hadn't been there, I would have been like, okay, whatever you say. Right. Because I hadn't experienced it firsthand. And so I got home and I walked in, and he just looked me dead in the eye. He goes, what happened to you? He goes, you look different.
Yeah.
And I just lost it all over again. The weight of the world had been lifted, and he could see that in my face. And the next week I went back to the same church service, and some of the women that had been praying over me, they said, are you Lisa from last week? You look different. And it was, I had experienced the Spirit like I never had before. And it was almost to where, I mean, so much more, but of how I grew up in the church, but didn't really know Jesus, didn't really know that relationship. And so it was like the same thing of, I didn't really know I could walk with the Spirit, that he could be in me. Mm-hmm. Not many churches talk about that.
Yeah, they really don't.
Of really being encountered with the Spirit and living in the Spirit. And it's like a high that I never want to end. And it's a beautiful feeling. And
it's one of those things that absolutely nothing else that you could ever taste or ever try, it doesn't compare.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I'm like always trying to run after that. I'm like, I want that feeling again. It's like a high, right? Yeah. But that was the last day I took Xanax for my anxiety. It was gone. It was done. So a couple months after that, we were sitting in church together, and the pastor was speaking on Matthew 11:28 of, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. And, you know, of real, true soul rest. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's what I experienced. That's it. And I heard him almost audibly say to me, start a mom's retreat. And I was like, what? So we left church, and I told my husband what I heard. And he goes, of course that's what you should be doing.
And he's like, excuse me?
Right. I said, what are you talking about? Of course, that's what you should be doing.
When were you going
to
tell me this?
Right, exactly. I think that's exactly what I said to him. And he said, of course. I said, what do you mean, of course? I've never even been to a mom's retreat. Like, how would I do that? He said, I don't know. You'll figure it out. So my husband was on board. I wasn't. I really struggled with God. And I was like, maybe somebody else has already done this and I can just help them. Like, I'm a great helper. I'm not a great leader. And I talked to God a lot about it. And he was like, no, you're going to do this. And I said, okay, I'm going to do it. But you have to put the right people in my path. You have to do it. I'll do what you say, but you have to do it. And so he did. I, you know, would set up lunch dates with people that I was barely acquaintances with, thinking, I don't know, maybe you have something for me. Like, I would literally sit down and say, I know you don't know me, but God has given me this mission and he told me to talk to you and I have no idea why. Do you have anything you want to tell me?
Yeah.
Literally. And bless these women that didn't just laugh at me and walk away. Some of them had information and some of them didn't, and it was just a nice lunch and that's okay. But it was this huge learning curve and, you know, just trusting God that he's going to put it together and people are going to come.
So how many years ago was this?
This was 2016. Okay. So almost 4 years ago now.
Okay.
So I started it. I made it, did official nonprofits, official 501(c). And Restore was born.
So Restore Moms Retreat.
Restore Moms Retreat. Was born. Yes. With the idea of restoring moms on that soul level based on Matthew 28 of, I will give you rest and true rest.
I love how, as you were molded and grown through your fire, how not only could you not see what was going on in that moment, but you had just enough right in front of you. And then he leads you into doing something so beautiful with
right
and from that pain and that experience and the beauty of it. So tell me about Restore Moms Retreat. Tell me what, because I know when you were really needing your rest, your children were very, very young. So is this something for brand new moms, for, just
it's for it. All moms.
Okay.
You know, and the night that I thought it was going to all end, I told him, I said, save me from this and I will use it for you however you want. I will bring glory to your kingdom. Just get me through this. And so I keep being reminded of this, and it's hard. It's a lot of work to do it. And so I'm like, okay, this is my promise. he got me through and I'm going to do this for him now, you know? But it is, it's just, I just want to bring him glory through it because motherhood is hard. Right. And so it doesn't matter if you've got infants to teenagers to grown kids, you're still a mom and it's still hard and you still give everything you have. And, you know, rarely fill yourself up.
Totally agree with that.
Yes. You know?
Mm-hmm. So what, tell me about a typical retreat. I know there's one coming up here.
There is one coming up the weekend of April 3rd through 5th. And
where is it?
This year it is at Camp Garner Creek in Dixon, which is only like an hour away, which is just far enough to where you feel like you're away, but close enough if there's an emergency.
Yeah.
So it's not so bad. It's a beautiful creek. We stay in kind of like hotel style rooms where there's just probably about three women to a room. And it's a lot of community because I think that's so important for moms to know they're not alone, you know, to where they can either come with a girlfriend and deepen that or make some new friendships, right, with women that are in their own community. And so it's a lot of worship and we have speakers and just regular people, you know, giving their testimonies, because testimonies are so powerful.
Yes.
And a lot of prayer. That's one of my favorite things of the weekend that I'm not actually a part of. I normally have about two women that are dedicated to pray over women while they're there. So we have this little prayer chapel that's open 24/7 that you can just go for a quiet place to pray, just to be alone. And then there'll be certain hours where there'll be a prayer partner in there if you want to be prayed over. And we've had some women go and just really experience the Lord and have seen freedom and breakthrough through that. And I hear some of the stories because they're so excited and come out in tears and they're a mess. And they're overflowing with joy of this freedom that they've found. And so they'll tell me little pieces. But it's private. That's not for me to know or anyone to know unless they want to share.
Right.
But for the most part, I don't get to know those stories, which makes me jealous that I'm not a part of that. But I'm just happy that they find it. So it's lots of prayer and worship and there's crafts, there's time for activities and downtime and, you know, sitting on front porch, you know, time of just journaling and just time with friends. And it's just a beautiful weekend with God and each other in the sunshine. Hopefully sunshine. Sometimes it rains.
Not in Tennessee. What are you talking about?
Right?
Yeah. As far as... So food, is it provided there?
It's provided. You don't have to cook. You don't have to clean up. And that alone, you know, is pure restoration.
And is it a 3 or 4 day?
It's
two nights.
It's two nights. So it's Friday evening to Sunday about noon. I try to accommodate working and, you know what I mean? We've had people come from Kentucky, Alabama. I've got a good friend that comes from Arizona every year and tries to bring some people with her. My mom and my sister have come. It's just a beautiful weekend. I've had a mom come with her two grown daughters who have kids.
They're also moms, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. And so that was just kind of a beautiful thing. So yeah, it's just, it's relaxing and it's uplifting and just a beautiful time to just kind of step aside and say, I'm going to focus on God and myself, because I don't think moms get to do that very much, or, you know, in 10-minute increments.
Yeah, it's in like a slice.
Right.
A slice of that. But
right,
not
exactly.
Over.
Right. And so to have that for a weekend is pretty significant. And so we have moms that come every year, and it's just kind of a break and just a time that they can come with their girlfriends, and that's perfectly great. And then there's moms that are in desperate need of a break, of to be restored. And, you know, we've got them in all spectrums. And it's,
here's an interesting question. Sometimes, especially with moms who have young kids and life's a little bit, even when you're starting out with a family, sometimes, especially, you know, the finances aren't exactly where they need to be. Is this something that if people need the break but don't have the finances to do it, are there sponsorships that you guys have? Or is there like a fundraising thing that they can do personally to help with this? Or?
Yeah, sure. So we get donations. We actually just gave away a scholarship today. And so there's scholarships that we can do. We try to fundraise all year long to be able to either give partially away as scholarships or to just subsidize the costs a little bit. I really try to keep the costs as low as possible. So that any mom can come. It breaks my heart, the idea of a mom absolutely needing it and can't come because she can't afford it. Like, I will take it out of my pocket before I say no to a mom, which my husband hates.
I'm sure he's like, dear, can't save everybody. You can't do everyone.
Right. So we try.
Okay. How many times a year do you all put
put these weekends together?
So it's once a year.
Okay.
It's normally March or April, just to kind of, depending on weather, when spring break is, all these things, and Easter. So it's normally April-ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And anyone can find you at?
RestoreMomsRetreat.com.
Okay.
Or questions at RestoreMomsRetreat@Outlook.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram. So we've got a fundraiser coming up on March 9th at Witt's Frozen Custard in Franklin, Berry Farms.
Yeah.
So what I love about those fundraisers is that people can bring their kids out, because I get to know all these moms and we never get to meet the kids. Aww. And so it's kind of a fun family time where you can do that and really get to know each other.
That's neat. Well, I love what you guys are doing. Is there anything that we haven't covered or that I haven't asked, or?
I don't think so. We're always accepting donations. you can do that on the website as well.
Okay.
And just come be a part of it. Bring a girlfriend or a neighbor. Bring your mom. Bring your sister. It's a sweet time to really spend together.
Okay. Oh, maybe my last question would be, how big, as far as group size, like what's your max on this weekend?
Sure. We've had as low as 23 and we've had as much as 60. I tend to get better reviews with the smaller group because everyone feels like they get to know each other. And, so I think we're going to try to cap it this year. Yeah. Just so people can have that experience where it's not just an overwhelming lost in the crowd situation. So, yeah.
Girl, thank you so much for being so open with your story and with your heart. I mean, that's some hard stuff to talk about and to relive and just kind of, but I appreciate that you didn't take your pain and go, okay, this was mine. And, you know, you allowed God to just use every ounce of it. And
yeah, it shows. To me, it's my story because I was a part of it. But it's really his story because I just want to use it for him. Like, it's not about me. It's about him and his glory. So I'm very grateful to be able to share that. And I just really appreciate you guys for letting me share my story with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you.
Hello again. Let's take Lisa's example. And if you right now are in a fight for your life, please know that it is not shameful to reach out for help. Fight past the fear, fight past the doubt and the shame, and reach out and tell someone either you love, tell someone at the church, find a therapist. There's also the National Suicide Hotline, which is 1-800-273-8255. Please know that God does not want you to stay in the dark. He doesn't want you hiding. He wants you out there finding fellowship, finding help, and getting past whatever is troubling you right now. There is hope, so please don't be afraid to reach out. As always, you can find us on pursuingtruenorth.com, and we'd love to hear from you. Take care.